Welcome to Openly Gamer Theater's production of The Dragon Variation, a Shadowrun roleplay drama.
This is Shannon. I'm playing Nightfall.
This is Dan, and I'm playing Fastback.
This is Mike. I will be playing Frenzy.
This is Brandon. I'm playing Talisman.
This is Brandy. I'm playing Poison Lily.
This is Jason, and I'm playing Astral Glide.
I'm Sean, and I'm playing Blockade.
Be warned, the following content may not be suitable for all audiences.
Being a Shadowrunner is a lot like being a politician. The bigger you get, the more the people who got you there expect from you. For example, Talisman. Before the humanist job, Marcus was a peripheral member of a magic group called the Sons of September. For an exorbitant amount of money, they helped him hone his skills as a mage. Then, when the shit hit the fan and everyone was hung out to dry, the Sons took Talisman in, with the expectation the favor would be repaid.
Talisman stood in an opulent antechamber, looking at the displayed artwork with idle curiosity. Masked as a downtown men's club, the Sanctum of the Sons of September was as familiar to him as home. He'd spent several years here, many of those in this room. The wave of sadness that washed over him caught him by surprise. Silas's loss hit him hard, harder than he realized. It still irked him that, as of yet, Silas's murder was still unsolved. His eyes focused on the panel chamber door as it slowly opened and a white-robed initiate beckoned him to enter with a silent wave of her hand. Inside the private study stood Victor. The man seemed small in comparison to Silas, but then to Talisman, Silas was always larger than life. The soft click of the door closing seemed to stir Victor from his focused study of a book resting in his hands.
Talisman, Silas thought very highly of you.
I thought very highly of Silas.
The balding man coolly regarded Talisman for a moment before smiling warmly and motioning to a richly stuffed armchair beside him.
It has come to my attention the group resources were used to protect you during a very sensitive time. I will not insult you with formalities or wordplay. I want to help you settle that debt.
Uh-huh.
All that is required is your insight on a matter, one that I believe you are already involved.
Okay. Well, I do owe the Sons of September and Silas nearly everything.
3 months ago, allies of ours uncovered a metahuman trafficking ring that has ties to Seattle. Specifically, the abduction and transport of children. These allies reported that there is a high probability that most, if not all, of the children show some magical aptitude.
Okay.
You are familiar with this subject, I understand.
I am familiar with that, yes. I've run into it in the past.
It seems the pattern of these abductions matches those of a case you worked on.
Well, that is extremely troubling.
This case of yours, it involved a laboratory. One funded and operated by Alamos 20,000.
That's absolutely correct, yes.
I am told that one of your associates killed a man named Kobe, also known as the Doctor.
That's also correct.
The children were being held in vats. What can you tell about them?
There were hundreds upon hundreds of them. Inside each of them, there were metahuman children. And they were all hooked up to one big central hub so to speak. When the power was cut from one of those, all hell pretty much broke loose. After that, it was chaotic. I was lucky to get even out alive.
I see. Allow me to show you something.
Victor casually pulled a black ribbon, marking a page in the book resting in his lap. It opened, showing an artist's rendering of a symbol, one that caused Talisman's eyes to widen in recognition.
Do you recognize this symbol?
I do. It was on the necks of several of the people in that area. We believe they were Yakuza, but they all bore the same mark.
This book is very old, ancient. It is among the group's rarest treasures. This symbol has many meanings. Its origin can be traced back to the Fourth World. More recently, relatively speaking, it was used as the personal artisan mark of a man named Kenzu Kudora. Have you ever heard that name before?
I have heard that name. From what I remember, he was involved in uploading your consciousness into the Matrix.
Yes. That was one of Kudora's designs.
A tug on a red ribbon revealed another section of the book. Another artist's rendering.
Does that look familiar?
That's the pod.
This is a device that, by its design, siphons magical essence.
That's right. Each of those pods, there was some magical aura around them.
That is what I was afraid of. Do you have augmented reality capability? I'd like to show you something else.
I do.
A video feed opened, showing a crime scene, obviously recorded with a cyber eye. The recorder, an investigating knight-errant detective. Talisman nodded. The Sons of September sometimes acted as consulting arcanists for local law enforcement, so the fact that Victor possessed this wasn't out of place. The detective knelt and inspected the two bodies, lying face down. They wore black fatigues and body armor. Affixed to their backs were smooth jet-black boxes. Embossed on them, the symbol from the book.
This footage was recovered from a crime scene approximately 3 months ago. A group of Sedea Group-funded agents attempted to break into a secure area. They were thwarted and were forced to flee the scene, leaving their dead comrades behind. Those boxes on their backs are believed to be a new form of technology, a sort of small unit tactical communication system. Considering they bear Kudora's mark, these boxes are likely based on his design, meaning Sedea Krupp possesses a previously unknown facsimile of this book. One of our members was consulted to inspect the device. His report was quite disturbing. This black ichor oozing from the bodies, primarily at the points where the device penetrates the skin, registered a faint astral signature. When inspected astrally, their true nature become clearer. They are communication devices, but they operate on an astral level, causing an astral conduit between their bearers and some central source, an almost hive mind consciousness. Our initial fear was that it was insect in origin. It is not. The internal components of the boxes are crystalline in nature. Have you seen any of this before?
The black goop, it's hard to tell, but that looks similar to what eventually destroyed my brother. He was on the humanist job with us. Like I said, something went wrong, and my other brother found him with that goop coming out of every orifice.
I see. I do appreciate your honesty. Now, may I ask you one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
It has come to my attention that you are being paid to recover a woman. Tell me, is this the man who brokered the deal with your brother?
Yes, it is.
Aaron's involvement in this, and the nature of the task, suggests that you may be acting as proxies for Hestaby.
Based on what the job is, that does add up. As far as my brother, I trust he's doing the right thing.
It is my belief that this is all connected. Suffice to say, you and your associates may be between two dragons, and their agendas.
That's troubling.
Your candor in this matter and confirmations provided have settled your debt with the Sons of September. Now go in peace, unburdened, and of renewed standing.
I thank you, Victor. It was nice meeting you. It was way past due.
Please, watch your back.
Accelerating down the street, the step van took the corner at Spring at a speed only possible by a rigged vehicle. Once he'd gotten them on the freeway, Fastback turned the control of the van over to its dog brain and split his awareness to include the internal sensors, turning his attention to the bound form of Schultes, who laid face down on the back floorboard. Streaks of dried tears and snot crusted over the adherix duct tape plastered over his mouth.
I'm going to scan this guy, see if he's got anything on him.
Fastback sensors swept over the captive several times, isolating the beacon emitter pulsing at the base of his neck.
Fastback's van is a thing of legend. Its custom-built electronic warfare gear puts most submarines to shame. Skill-wise, he's probably the best rigger I've ever worked with.
Fastback acknowledged one of Nightfall's sprites. It was the one that Nightfall called Professor Fuzzybum, an anthropomorphic rabbit that wore a tweed waistcoat. In AR, it appeared to be sitting on Schultes' back. Its glittering watch chain jingled as it sipped tea from a virtual cup. The sprite looked at the nearest sensor, squinting through a gold-rimmed monocle, as if sensing Fastback watching it.
Okay, so there is a story behind Nightfall and her sprites. Nightfall was Otaku, before the Matrix crash of 64. I can't say I truly understand what that means, but let's just say that from a young age, she could manipulate the Matrix without using technology. You think that people don't trust technomancers now? Back then, they were practically burned at the stake. Most people are afraid of what they don't understand. Even a little girl. Nightfall's parents abandoned her. 6 years old, alone, on the streets of Montreal. Some people are fucking assholes. Anyway, the things that kept her going, helped her cope, were her sprites. To her, they were not so imaginary friends. Played games with her, helped her find food and shelter, survive. So, as fucking annoying as those things can be to us, to her, they're the only family she's got.
A big red cartoon arrow appeared, pointing at the flashing beacon at Fuzzybum's feet.
Can you get that down on the drive?
My good sir. Indubitably.
As the sprite began pouring the contents of its teacup on Schultes' head, Fastback was alerted by a message that popped into his view. It was from Lily. He jumped his consciousness back into the van, taking full control again, made the Highway 167 ramp at the last moment, and headed south, towards Puyallup. In the group chat, he posted one word, Dogleash.
Dogleash used to be hired muscle for the Vori, until he pissed off someone important and ended up on the wrong end of a blowtorch. Every time I look at that guy's face, I want to puke. He's one of Lily's most loyal contacts. Do anything for her. Anything.
Lily watched as Talisman and Glide used the last of the duct tape, securing Schultes to the stained toilet against the far wall. The limp, naked form bobbed as Glide tested the strength of the restraint. She nodded and gave Dogleash an appreciative smile as he tacked up the last of the tattered quilts lining the wall of the small square room. Her foot absently scraped an old bloodstain on the worn concrete floor. She looked at the lone drop light hanging from a hook in the ceiling on a frayed orange cord. It still swung slightly from when Blockade bumped it, bringing in the unconscious captive. The effect made her slightly nauseous. Dogleash finished up and walked past her, her hand lightly touching his in thanks. He never asked any questions, and he always let her come here when she needed.
That place gives shitholes a bad name. The Fraggin' Fallout alone. I keep a bag of throwaway gear just for when I'm forced to deal with Dogleash and his pad. Burn that shit as soon as the job's over, too. God knows what's growing in that place.
Schultes' eyes snapped open as the tape securing his mouth was quickly ripped from his face. A welling of blood appeared on his cheek where the skin came off with it.
Ah! Who are you?
I punch him.
Frenzy, wake this guy up so we can talk to him. Don't punch him next time.
I'll pour a glass of water on him.
What the? Why?
I'll pull up a chair and sit in front of him. Just stare at him.
And I'm just standing over him.
And I'll cast Analyze Truth.
And I'll eventually be doing the mind probe.
Okay, both of you roll your spells.
Force 8. 5.
Net 3. Talisman, you're casting Analyze Truth.
Correct. I got 4.
3 net successes says the subject can find out anything the target consciously knows and view the target's recent memories within 72 hours.
Listen to me, Schultes. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to answer me honestly. Where is Amaniel, and who hired you to orchestrate her kidnapping?
They haven't made contact. They still have her. That was the deal.
Who's they?
The team. The Shadowrunners.
What are their names?
I don't know.
He's lying.
Glyde's fist was a blur as it struck, snapping Schultes' head so violently to the side that Lily took an involuntary step forward. Blood flowed from a wide gash in Schultes' forehead as he slowly lifted his eyes to meet Glyde's. In those eyes, Lily saw the true realization of fear. The wet slurping sound and cloying reek emanating from below the bound man proved that Schultes understood how dire his situation really was. With a satisfied smile, Talisman pulled the lever on the toilet.
You're only going to get one. I'm not going to hit you again.
Glyde tilted his head to the side, allowing Schultes to get an unobstructed view of Blockade as the troll donned an enormous pair of spiked brass knuckles.
He's going to hit you next. Do you understand?
Yes.
Where is Amaniel?
Shipyards. United Rainier Petroleum.
That's the truth.
I think they have her in a cargo container.
Who instructed you to orchestrate her kidnapping?
My employer.
What is your employer's name?
I swear, I don't know his name. Well, not his real name. He calls himself Herr Schmidt.
Herr Schmidt?
Ares doesn't use Herr Schmidt.
No, they don't.
You work for Seder Group?
Yes.
What's your real name?
Jonas Schultes.
Jonas Schultes.
I videotaped that whole... It doesn't get any of us in it. It's just all on him. And then, because I'm not in the room, I ask Lily to play this back for him.
I'll play it back for him.
All right, he looks at it. And he just shakes his head.
Now we own you.
What is it you want?
Is United Rainier Petroleum just a front, or is that a real corporation?
It's owned by Federated Boeing. One of them runners has ties to them. They're using it as a safe house.
Tell us about the runners who kidnapped her.
They are very careful, ensured that I only dealt with certain members. But I know them, all of them. Schmidt knew it too. That's why he tapped me.
Names?
Wooly.
Okay.
Orc muscle, hyper aggressive, a bully, you know.
I know the type.
The leader goes by RC, Rigger, a real pro.
RC. Is this the Japanese?
Oh, no. That's Big Game. Bounty hunter from Chiba City. Specializes in tracking down technomancers. Then there's Simon, RC's brother. He's one of those weird gun nuts. Extra macho, small dick type. His thing is remote weapon platforms. Big machine guns, heat-seeking missiles, you know, the works.
Shit.
I have a few of those myself.
They have a sniper, too. Goes by Unreal. He was my point of contact. He's on Seder Krupp's payroll. He and Gonzo, their mage. Warchief, their decker, local talent.
What does Seder Krupp want with the dragon's daughter?
I swear, I don't know. It's big. The order came from high up. I snooped a bit. Probably too much. Has to do with something called Project Heimelsfort. The gate to heaven.
The Point Six Club in West Bellevue stood in one of the nicer areas of the Metroplex. Because it was a private club, discretion in regards to members' activities was paramount, which made the third floor lounge a perfect place for a secret meeting or to plan a job.
Hold on, let me clarify something. The name of the Point Six Club is derived from the UCAS Penal Code for public display of sexual conduct. One guess who's a member. Man, that place smells like unwashed latex and broken dreams.
The gathered team silently sat and watched as Fastback opened up windows for each of them, displaying a satellite map of Harbor Island and the compound that dominated it.
With the schematics that Nightfall has provided, what you see here is United Rainier Petroleum, subsidiary of Federated Boeing. Blockade, you and Glide will approach from the sound. If she is indeed being held in a shipping container, your thermals should pick her up. If not, that's why we have Team B, which will consist of Nightfall, Lily, Talisman, and Frenzy. They will disguise as a maintenance crew. I will obtain fake credentials for you. Nightfall, if you have one of your sprites go in, create a ruckus, calling in a maintenance crew, no one will be any the wiser.
Sounds easy enough.
Once you're in, try to locate the Dragon's Daughter. When the target is acquired, I will drop in and pick you all up.
How are you going to drop in? I'm confused. How's that going to work?
I'll take care of that.
I'll be riding with B-Team, but once we get there, I'm going to move to a cargo crane in the northwest corner so I can cover you guys and also help blockade and check for signatures.
Lily's second responsibility is to keep an eye out for the extraction team. They are our largest threat. They go in order of Gonzo, the combat mage. Second is War Chief, the Decker. Nightfall, you got her?
I can take her.
Third is Simon, the heavy weapons expert. After that, it should be a cakewalk.
You shouldn't have said that.
You never say it's a cakewalk.
That was a long time ago. We're all professionals now.
It appears as if the cargo containers are close to the water's edge,
right? The shipping containers
right?
are right off the shore's edge.
What's the contingency if we don't find a thermal signature on her?
Nightfall will break into their matrix system.
But she has to do that on site?
She has to do that on site.
Everyone knew their role. No need to argue semantics or try to debate tactics. They dispersed, seeing to their own aspects of the mission prep. And Fastback left them to it.
That's one thing that I have to hand to this group. They do know their roles. Thinkers think and doers do. So even after being apart for 10 years, they still trust Fastback and Lily to handle the planning. Setting aside ego for efficiency, a lesson that most groups never learn. Shit. I've seen groups frag an entire mission because some goober gets bored, goes rogue, kicks in the door, guns blazing. Those buddy fuckers don't last very long.
Fastback slowly made his way down the back staircase to the alley behind the club, where his step van silently idled. As he settled himself in the molded pilot seat, he opened his contacts list.
I'm going to give my manufacturer a call, and I call up Taco Jesus. Connection 3, Loyalty 3.
Hola, gringo.
I know you're not Mexican. You can give up. You know who this is.
Hey, Fastback.
Okay, good. I need some IDs, stat.
Funny time for a wake-up call, man.
Don't play like that. I know you're up. Put the controller down.
Busted. Wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, baby. I'm talking biz.
Tell your sister I said hello.
Remind me why we're friends again? Oh, by the way. Those Nuke It Burger Club membership codes you sold me were bogus.
You're going to the wrong one. Lifetime membership.
I don't think they do that anymore.
You're going to the wrong one. I need 4 maintenance identifications for United Rainier Petroleum.
That's a Boeing company, right? How soon?
30 minutes.
30 minutes? Man, for that kind of turnaround, it'll cost you. $15,000 each.
Deal.
Usual drop point?
That's fine.
Okay. What's that coffee place you're always hawking?
Sundoes.
Yeah, Sundoes. Throw him some codes for that place, too.
Fair enough.
High beams of the work van cut through the misting rain. Even at 3 a.m., there was traffic. Southbound 99 out of Seattle was always busy. Didn't matter what time it was. Talisman rested his hands on the steering wheel. It was a formality, really. Like most of the other drivers on the freeway, the automated system, or as riggers like to refer to them, dog brain, was in control. This allowed Talisman the freedom to monitor the windows that his AR contact lenses projected over his field of vision. The largest of which featured Glide's image link. He and Blockade had left the final mission brief and went to procure a boat from Elliott Bay Marina. From the looks of things, they got themselves a decent-sized express fisherman. Glide's viewpoint blurred slightly as he looked over at Blockade, who was white-knuckled in the passenger seat, clearly not at ease with the speed that the boat was going.
Good-looking boat.
Thank you.
Before Glide turned his attention back to the front, he glanced behind Blockade's seat. Bound by half-inch mooring line was a naked man, struggling against his bonds and working his lips around the rag jammed in his mouth.
Good-looking man there, too.
He was very willing to let us borrow this.
As the van slowed and merged onto the exit ramp leading to Harbor Island, the autopilot disengaged and Talisman took over control. He guided the vehicle over the Spokane Street Bridge, hearing the group chat pop as Fastback took over the signal.
Nightfall. Cause a ruckus.
Done. Hey, Mr. Bojangles, you want to go have some fun?
Oh, yeah!
All right, I need you to head the HVAC system of the United Rainier Petroleum main office.
HVAC system?
Just hit them with gremlins, I think that'll do.
Too easy, Nightfall. Almost a waste of all this talent.
The surly bear rhythmically stamped its stuffed feet in impatience, causing the silver bells of its motley to jingle.
Mr. Bojangles, that sadistic motherfucker is true evil.
It's first device rating plus firewall.
Still under the Federated Boeing host.
That's 9 successes.
So you net 3. Bojangles comes back.
Thermostat locked in at 30 degrees Celsius. That ought to frag their servers, but good.
Thanks, Bojangles.
The Southgate security checkpoint was the only break in the fence line girding the Federated Boeing shipyards. Their van's headlights reflected off the mirrored windows of the guard building. As was typical with most guarded facilities, there was a sign that instructed vehicles to cut their lights when they approached. Talisman obeyed and coasted to a stop before a thick metal arm, barring entry into the compound. A uniformed guard stepped out of the side of the small building. His matte black uniform and protective gear seemed to drink the light of the halogen spotlights illuminating everything for 100 meters. His bug-eyed goggles gave a slight green glow as his vision enhancements activated. One hand rose in greeting as the other rested on his bullpup submachine gun, which hung from a single point sling affixed to his armored vest. The only skin showing was his mouth, which was smiling as he approached the driver's side window. Rain splattered in as Talisman leaned back, allowing Lily to talk over him from the passenger seat.
What brings you guys out so late?
We got a call about the HVAC system malfunction. They're concerned about keeping the computers going as hot as it's getting in there, especially with it being a weekend and no one coming in tomorrow.
Okay, make your con roll.
I got 6.
So net 2.
Barely visible through the goggles, the guard's eyes narrowed. Talisman's hands tightened on the steering wheel as he heard Frenzy's knuckles crack like a handful of rotten twigs. Limbering his fingers, should casting be needed.
Frenzy's not the type to worry about collateral damage. If this schmuck hesitated for just an instant too long, his family'd be filing a missing persons report.
The guard's head cocked to the side. Talisman heard muffled talking coming from the man's helmet, obviously giving him instructions. His widening smile eased the tension in the van.
Yeah, United Rainier Building. Okay. Bravo Niner to dispatch. Authorized maintenance crew entering South Gate. Destination, United Rainier Building. Go ahead.
Talisman kept control of the van, creeping slowly on the deserted service road. He nodded to Lily, who unzipped her maintenance coveralls, revealing the form-fitted chameleon suit beneath. He slowed their speed even further when the van began to bounce as they crossed over a cluster of railroad lines. The passenger door clicked, and Lily looked at him. then nodded towards a grouping of enormous cargo cranes at the end of the rail lines.
Here we are. You wanted to get off at this crane, right?
All right, I'm going to stealth.
Keep us safe.
Position.
All right, go ahead and make your stealth roll, because there are cameras here.
My sneaking is 9, but since I have a chameleon suit, I get to add 2, plus I get to add 2 to my limit. I got 5.
So net 3, Lily melted into the night. With a click and a hiss, Nightfall's seatbelt was unbuckled, and she climbed over the center console and into the passenger seat, pulling the door closed as she settled herself. Talisman accelerated slightly to make sure that they stayed on schedule and made the turn towards their target location. As they closed on the United Rainier building, Lily's comm channel opened.
I'm climbing into position, 15 seconds.
We're on 13th. Target straight ahead.
A window in his AR desktop opened, showing Blockade's point of view as he and Glide watched from the bobbing boat. They had arrived at the dock and were now awaiting Fastback's order to proceed. Thermal vision, go ahead and make your perception check.
I was going to use that. Would astral perception be?
If you're looking for spirits.
2 successes.
I'm guessing that they're probably going to use some kind of magical protection to hide her too, right?
Possibly.
Okay.
She's a witch.
That's what I'll do. I will astrally perceive the shipping containers. I'm looking for an astral signature. All
right. As you're pulling up to the shoreline, nice and slow, Blockade, you're looking at the shipping containers in the yard, and one shipping container does have heat, but there's multiple blips all inside.
Detected one heat source right there.
Is it the second one from the left?
Yeah, it looks like they're all sitting down inside.
Is there any kind of astral signature on that?
No.
So I'm not getting anything astrally on it. Okay.
Guess that's it. Let's hit it.
Sit tight for a minute.
Holding.
Roger that.
We'll tie off at the dock and shut the engine down.
Lily, make a perception check.
5 successes.
As you're watching, something moves from the roof, spins, starts rolling towards the back, and you see heat start to go as it's rolling.
The signature and shape match that of a tracked smart weapon platform.
Mobile weapon platforms are different than drones in one very fundamental way. They aren't controlled by someone whose implants make it possible for them to extend their consciousness into them. Usually, they are remote controlled by some nutless punk safely nestled in some security office. The only risk they face is getting pressure sores on their fat asses.
All right, guys, you got a mobile weapons platform headed right towards the van. It's on the roof headed your direction right now.
Shoot it down.
I'm going to aim. 5 successes.
You net 5.
19, -9.
Oh, jigs up, guys.
I guess it had something explosive.
Guys, the target's eliminated.
And we're moving.
Whenever they take off, Blockade had the bag that has my drones and my 4 drones fan out behind him.
Blockade takes off running. Drones start to deploy out of his backpack, and Glide is right behind him.
Keeping pace, stride for stride, Glide silently nodded as Blockade's thick, black-gloved finger pointed toward the topmost container on the nearest corner.
What's your ETA? 10 seconds.
I'm just going to take my axe and knock the lock off.
I'm going to climb so that I'm on top.
Lily, make a perception check.
I got 1 success.
Maybe it's a good time to use edge.
Yeah, I'm going to.
I like that. Reroll your misses.
I got 6.
The whole time I'm going to have Rune just kind of floating around.
Hey, Slick. Several of these cargo containers are bio-insulated. Some kind of moss growing in the walls, I'm guessing. I can't pass through. So you can tell your moron brother to stop straining himself. He won't be able to astrally perceive shit either.
Lily, as you're watching what's going on, out of the corner of your eye, you see a muzzle flash.
Sniper and Crane 2.
On it.
I send all 4 of my drones to intercept.
Glide is standing on top of the cargo container. Make it just your reaction, Jason.
3 successes, Eric.
Glide, you're looking at a 16P armor pin 9.
Oh.
Should I edge it now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get to reroll 1.
Get to reroll 1. Come on now.
Oh. 4 successes. 4. That's 12 boxes of damage.
Yes.
Oh.
That's not bad.
And yes,
his it body's is. 5.
I'm dead.
Rub some dirt in it, boy.
That's why I gave you that tampon.
Can we see the crane?
I have danger sense, Eric.
Okay.
You're instinctively sensitive of your surroundings and of impending threats that may not be immediately visible. It's the bad feeling that the character gets before walking into a trap, the gut instinct that makes them jump and it's before trouble hits. For each level of this power, you get +1 die on surprise tests. I also have combat sense 3. It provides an instinctive sense of any potential threats nearby. In defending against ranged and melee attacks, you get a +1 dice pool bonus. Adepts with this power always allowed a perception test before a possible surprise situation, gaining the benefit of being alerted if the test is successful.
You need to make a perception check first, then a surprise check.
It's like bullet time.
Make it or you die.
Make it or you die.
What is perception?
Well, first of all, you need to make a perception check so you're aware of the you become aware of the attack.
Like maybe I shouldn't climb up here.
Damn. How many successes did you get?
5.
So you are aware of the attack coming. So now we need to make a surprise check. Because you're aware of the situation, you get a +3 dice to that. You need 3 successes or you're dead.
2.
Oh no.
I got 1.
Oh shit.
3, there you go.
4.
Oh.
So what that means is instead of just your reaction, you get to add your intuition and your adept ability, which gives you dice to ranged attacks.
Okay.
So right now you're starting with 4 successes.
Okay.
So I have 4 successes.
Yes. Right, in the bank.
8, right?
8.
8.
He misses.
Shoo!
God damn it, Lily.
AG, get down. There's a sniper.
I'm already down.
I'm already flat. I did a belly flop. Pow!
The, jump, I'll catch you.
Drones are now en route.
Okay.
You're standing at the container. You've now knocked the lock off.
Pull the doors open from above me.
Pulling the doors open, and there's orc and troll children in here.
Jeez, sound familiar?
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of The Dragon Variation. Theme music by Dot Sound. Background music by Machinima Sound. Edited by Daniel Helderman. Written, produced, and directed by Eric Austin. Openly Gamer Theater would like to thank Catalyst Game Labs for allowing us to make this production. Any commercial use of this production is prohibited. Shadowrun is copyrighted property of the Topps Company. Openly Gamer Theater is trademark property of Side Tangent Productions.